I want you to open your Bible, if you will, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. Look at chapter 7, if you will. Gospel of John, chapter 7. No, we're not having electrical problems. I asked Brother Matt to do that for just a moment here. John chapter 7. And I hope you can still see your Bible. Flip them back on for just a minute, Matt, if you will, just these overhead ones so the people can read. Look at verse 12, if you will. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. The him is Jesus. Much murmuring. Some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." And then look at verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." They meant the Messiah. Others said, "This is the Christ." That word means Messiah. But some others said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" And then look, if you will, at verse 43. So, there was much division among the people because of him. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, you've just spoken to us. But Lord, when I say speak to us, I pray that you would speak to us in your still, small voice that has a way of being like thunder in our hearts. Father, right now, we're looking to you. We ask you now, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit power on this place. And Lord, we recognize that since that day when the rushing mighty wind came, the power has been here and available. But Lord, we open ourselves up to it. And we ask now that you would just bring not it, but him upon us. Him, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. I want to pause just a moment and talk to you folks here at Crooked Creek. When Brother Ronnie Heelan first began to have the vision for the giant tent meeting, he called me. In fact, he called me several evenings and talked to me at length. Our guys on staff here have just gotten to where they grin when Brother Ronnie calls. They know he's going to call me. And he was just feeling me out. He wanted to know how I felt and how you folks here at Crooked Creek would feel about having that tent meeting. And when I encouraged him and you encouraged me to go ahead and do it, it was like the final okay, I think, for him to go ahead with it. He had peace with it, and after he had sought God, of course, but he had peace about it. And I want to tell you folks how much I appreciate your sensing the Spirit of God in that, because much of the reward, I think, for that meeting is going to go to you folks who had a heart for it. And those of you who pushed it, the quasi-official count of those who were saved in that tent meeting was over 150. We have no way of knowing how many people were actually saved in the meeting because of the floods of people who would come down there at the altar. I have never felt so helpless as a personal worker in my life as when I saw all those gazillions of people coming down, and it was just like being shot with a shotgun. You know, it was just gazillions of them coming down. I didn't know which one to go to. I said, "Dear God, please help me." And I watched these other veteran preachers as they were hit by the same shotgun. We didn't know what to do. And so despite, though, the bungling job we did, we have a pretty good indication of at least 150. I suspect that there were more than that who surrendered to God, trusted Him as trusted Jesus as Savior. But God bless you folks for the work you did, for the condescending and gracious attitudes you had. I think your spirits made that meeting And we weren't there to nitpick. We were there to rejoice in what God was doing. So I want to thank you so much. And for all the prayers that you offered, I just had the sense that you folks had it on your heart. And it was such a blessing to see that. I want to show you something this morning that took me about 5 years to really understand what I was looking at. I want to show you a very bad picture that is over 100 years old in itself. Now, let me see if I can get this right here. There it is. I know you won't be able to see that picture exactly, but if you can read the big print up there, the top line says, "The Welch Revivalists and Friends." Now, the date up there is 1905, if I read it right. And you're looking at a group of women and men during that period. Now, you can see why these folks, they're called colloquially the revival team. Because this group of people here would go around to whatever chapel or whatever church Evan Roberts was going to be or one of the other evangelists was going to be. And some of these young men served as evangelists of the Welch Revival. And they would go around and they would go to those places just to encourage and pray and bless and do personal work. And God used them mightily. Now, you can see that these folks, I mean, they weren't perfect people. For example, do you see the horrible problem they had with modesty? I think right there in the front, I actually see one lady's ankle. How shameless can you get there? But actually, it's covered up with a boot, so I guess it's okay. Anyway, and then those low necklines that they're wearing, those ladies are, just had a real problem with modesty. But anyway, I want you to see this picture for several reasons. One of you, those of you who are young people here in the auditorium today, the people you're looking at there, if you could see the picture up a little bit better, you would know that some of those folks are teenagers. Probably half of them are teenagers. The rest of them are somewhere under Evan Roberts' age. He was 27 when the revival hit. He was the major evangelist for that whole revival, 27 years old. So just about everyone you're looking at there is either a teenager, 21, 22 years old, 23. They were the ones who picked up the burden for that revival and sent it along. It was, as far as I can tell, and I've read now a lot of revival history, but I believe that was probably the greatest revival that has happened over the last 400 or 500 years, the Welch Revival. It spread everywhere, as far as Korea and China and back in America and just all kind of places, the revival spread. It was an astonishing thing. And these young people decided that they were going to join the revival team at some point. Now, you say, why are you mentioning that? I'm mentioning that because of what God has revealed to me and to a lot of you over the last few weeks, and some of you over the last 5, 6 years. And that is that God appears to be, on a very wide scale, very big scale, gathering His revival team for our day. I hope you heard that. When we first started organizing this tent meeting, I wanted to be on the prayer team. I asked the Lord to let me be on the prayer team, and miraculously I got on that. And the prayer committee. And the reason was, I felt like because of the experiences that God had taken our church through, that we could exercise some leadership in the area of prayer. I felt like we could do that. And but then when I got into the meeting, I found out something. I found out that there were dozens of others that God had taken on their own pilgrimage, and they were at the same place we were in the prayer thing. In fact, when I went into that meeting, I thought that we could be a help. I thought our church could be a help just because God awakened us back in like 2006, beginning at the first Billy Ingram revival meeting here. And I felt like God had kind of awakened us. and that we would probably, on the revival road, be a little bit ahead of everyone else. But you know what I found out? The first pastor's meeting that I went to, the first prayer meeting that I got into, I began to hear these other men, and in fact, some ladies at other meetings, and I heard their cries that they were crying out to God, and I said, good night. These people basically are at the same place we are. It's like all over Northeast Georgia, God has been stirring up one person after another to pray for revival. Those of you who got to attend a lot of that meeting, did you meet a lot of neat people? Was that a blast or what? I mean, some of the greatest, the most godly and spiritual and earnest people that you would ever meet, you were sitting elbow to elbow with there at that meeting. And you could just sense the unity in that meeting. One of the men that I got to work with, Brother Mickey Oliver from out at New Testament Baptist Church in Loganville, Mickey is a strong man. I mean, you have to be around him for a while to understand. If Mickey thinks it, you're going to know it. I mean, you're going to know it pretty quick. And he's just a strong man and leads his church in that kind of way. He's just a strong man. And one day I watched Brother Mickey at the invitation at the tent meeting, and he was up there, and it was kind of like this. I thought, I wonder what that rascal's thinking. And so I slid up beside him, and I kind of put my arm around his back like that, and I said, brother, what you thinking? That's the way, if you want to know what somebody's thinking, just ask them, you know. What you thinking? And he said, you know, he said, I just can't believe the camaraderie of the pastors in there. Now, all of us are independent Baptist preachers. All of us who are leading that, you have to understand what that means. What that means, you spell independent, O-P-I-N-I-O-N-A-T-E-D. Independent, otherwise known as opinionated. I mean, we're just like that. And what Brother Mickey was marveling at, he said, here I am in perfect harmony and accord with all these other of my brothers right here. He said, I've never agreed with all these folks, still don't agree with them, and yet our hearts are one. And I'm seeing God doing that now. I'm seeing God reaching out among His people, beginning with the pastors, and also reaching out into every church, and He is causing people to have a burden to see God send a mighty sweeping movement of His Spirit, and it's happening to people of all ages, all different kind of backgrounds and temperaments. Now, you know, it's fascinating to me. You say, well, I can see God doing that with the more outspoken people. But did y'all notice the other Sunday night when I asked who wanted to share a testimony that might have hesitated before? Did y'all notice that Ben Seymour stood up and started talking? Y'all know what a blabbermouth Ben is, and his daddy is. He just loves to talk. I mean, we can't shut the guy up. Right? No. Wrong? He is very quiet. Ben has just always been there, solid as a rock, but he never spoke. But suddenly, here's this guy who's never spoken before, and he said, I've got to say something. I've got to say something. And the Spirit, that's right, brother, that's the Lord. The Lord does things like that. He raises people up. And as I was talking, in fact, Brother Charles and I were over there yesterday helping him take down the tent, and this Hispanic man from East L.A. Was there, and we'd finished taking down the tent. We were over there eating pizza, and this Hispanic guy came up, and I made the mistake of saying, brother, what church are you from? And he said, I'm from Corinth Baptist Church in Loganville. My pastor's Brother Don Richards, and then he lit in on us, didn't he, Brother Charles? He preached to Brother Charles and me, I mean, like we were in the Bowery, you know, like we were in the ghetto. And, you know, he preached to us for about 30 minutes. I was ready to get converted right there on the spot. That brother had us going to town. Just the thrill and the excitement in his own heart. And I thought, that guy told us he had spent 34 years taking every drug that he could find. And God rescued him. And now he is a flaming voice for God. What's going on here? I was just stunned at all that. In fact, I watched him, and I was kidding him while when he kind of slowed down. I said, "Man, you've got happy feet, don't you?" Because he was all, as he was telling us, he was dancing around here and dancing around there. He looked like that penguin, you know, and just had happy feet. I love it. All right, now, you say, where in the world are you going? Did you notice in the Scripture that I read there was a division among the people? Some said, he is the prophet. That is the Messiah. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the answer. And others said, nah. In other words, somebody, some of them, got on the Lord's revival team, and some of them didn't. 100 years ago, Evan Roberts stood up. I understand the first time he used this outline was in his own church, talking to his own youth group in his own church, right after the turn of the 20th century. And he stood up and he said, "If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to," and what he's really saying was, "If you want to be a part of what God is going to do," he said, "you've got to do four things." Now, did you hear Brother Sexton, whose heart beats for God, doesn't it? Didn't you get that impression? Brother Sexton said, "God is about to do something." And I'm beginning to believe that. My first vision for revival was that it would explode right here at Crooked Creek, and then it would spread out from here. That was my first vision for it. But God always has a bigger idea, doesn't he? What God wants to do is to set this person on fire over here, this person on fire over here, this person on fire over here, and suddenly those people in those different churches, different areas, they begin to burn and they heat up the whole area. And we started to see that over the past 3 weeks. Things ramping up and things firing up. And I'm convinced that what we've seen is the first big wave of the revival. And what I want to ask you this morning is, do you want to be a part of what God wants to do? Do you want to be a part of the revival team? Or do you want to sit? Do you want to be a part of the revival team? Or do you want to sit? Oh, beloved, what a decision that is. Evan Roberts stood up before those people, those young people, and he said, "The first thing that you need to do if you want to be a part of what I want to do is to publicly confess Christ." Publicly confess Christ. Have you ever noticed that when God gives what amounts to the plan of salvation in Romans chapter 10, He starts out in verse 9, He says, "If thou shalt confess with thy," what? God says, "I have given you a mouth. And with that mouth, you are supposed to either confess me, say, I am with Jesus, or not." He says, will you come to that defining moment when you say, "I am on the Jesus team. I am with Jesus"? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and then he says, if thou shalt believe in thy heart. Now you know that salvation happens in the heart, right? It's you trusting Jesus with your heart. So why did God throw that thing in about if thou shalt confess with thy mouth? It's because each one of us needs to confess Christ publicly. Why? Number one reason why we need to confess Christ publicly is that He says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be, what? Ashamed. He says, if you really believe in me, you will not be ashamed of me. If you want to be my soldier, you have to put on my uniform. Those of you who are military background guys, what would they do with a recruit who came to the recruiting center and he said, "Well, I'm ready to be in the Army." And they said, "All right, here's your uniform. Sign the oath, here's your uniform." And he said, "Oh, I don't like that color. I don't want to wear that uniform. In fact, I'd be kind of ashamed to be seen out in that uniform. And so, I don't want to wear that." What would happen? I don't know enough about military protocol to know what would happen right then. But I don't think it'd be good, do you? I think something bad would be about to happen right there. Well, you know what? What it is? Some people say, I'm a believer, but I am not willing to publicly confess Christ. It's like not putting on the uniform, being unwilling to put on the uniform. God says, are you ashamed of me or are you not ashamed of me? Can you imagine the gall of some human being saying, I'm ashamed of the God of heaven? I am ashamed of the God of heaven. What a ridiculous thought. So the first thing you do is you publicly confess Christ. You say, I am a Christian. Brother Randy Epps, when I was down at the ordination, told me something. He said, we had a service where we gave silent testimonies. I like part of this, I don't like part of it. He said, what the kids were supposed to do is they were supposed to write out, stand in front of the church, and having written out their testimonies on a big piece of cardboard or a poster board, and they were supposed to hide it for a moment, and then at the right moment hold that testimony up. He said, we had this kid who was out of an atheistic background. Said, didn't believe in God, but he'd been coming to church just because he was kind of lost and didn't have any friends, been coming to church, but he was a self-proclaimed atheist. And Randy said, we'd been talking to him, praying for him. And he said, so this kid gets up in front of the church and he's got his sign. Randy says, I don't know where that sign is going to say, I hate God, or Jesus is not real. Or, he said, I don't know what his sign was going to say. And he said, but I had watched this kid and I felt like something was going on in his heart. And the kid flipped up that sign in front of everybody and the sign said, Christian. He had changed his mind. Or better yet, who had changed his mind? The Holy Spirit had gripped him and he was willing to come out and confess Christ publicly. I would have felt better if he had said it. If he had stood up and said, I claim Jesus. Because that's why God gave you a mouth, right? I claim Jesus. Have you ever publicly... That's why, by the way, when somebody says they get saved, we say, all right, come up here and publicly profess it. Let the preacher ask you the question. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you? Do you believe He was buried and rose again? It's because you publicly confess Christ. If I shall confess with thy mouth. He says that twice in that passage. So if someone's hiding back there and they're saying, I don't want to do that. Something's going on. What was that, Geneva? That's exactly right. Now, I want to repeat something I said. In this service, it's do it now. So if I preach anything and God speaks to you, do it now. Don't wait. I'll wait on you. I'll be happy to watch the Holy Spirit take over. No problem. Confess Christ. And then, join the revival team. Did the lights just come on for you? Did you just get it? Amen. Wow. That's one of those humanly performed miracles right there. All right. And then join the revival team. You know, there was a time when Jesus was gathering His team to do what He was going to do. And He said, James and John, come on, follow me. Join my team. They left their nets. Peter, you and Andrew, come over here and join my team. They left their nets. They followed Him. Matthew, quit doing that crooked money tax collecting. Leave all that behind. Come join my team. Zacchaeus, get out of that tree. Come join the team. You know what? You will find yourself looking back in the years to come and either saying, I was part of what God did, or living in regret. I was part of it. Either you will catch the burden. There was one of the early days of the revival meeting, I decided to go over to the noon prayer meeting that they were having. I didn't make it. I think I made it one time. But I went over there, and the guy who was, Brother Sexton calls his prayer warrior, that man had the strongest set of lungs I've ever heard in my life. We were in that tabernacle, he and about 15 of us. And Christian, he was at one end of that tent, I was at the other end of the tent, and I couldn't hear myself think he was praying so loud. Crying, "Oh, God!" When I first heard him, I thought, what in the world is that guy doing? And then later on, I figured out he's praying. That's what he's doing. He's crying out to God. And it stunned me that this guy was from North Carolina. And did you know that people up there in North Carolina are crying out to God for revival? All that week, I was getting emails from all over the place, from Brooklyn, New York, and from Michigan, and from Wisconsin. Emails, people wanting to know, what's going on down there? It's like God has His team, and they're increasing in number all over the nation at least. In fact, Brandon sent me an email. He said, "I want to know, what's going on." He said, "What's happening over there is going to affect what happens over here ultimately." And he said, "Tell me about it." And everybody, it's like God has the members of His team scattered out all over the place. And every time they hear about some little spark of revival, when God is moving, everybody wants to know, what's going on? Because Brother Sexton, I think he had it right. God is going to do something, and you'll either be on the team or you won't. So you publicly confess Christ, and I think you publicly join the team. I want to have the prayer burden like that guy did. That guy who was praying at the tent that day, he didn't know I was in the world. Because he had the burden of prayer on his heart. He was crying out to God. Do you have the burden on your heart? If you don't, pray that God will give it to you. The burden of God. Secondly, Linda. Now, here's the case. Linda the loudmouth, right? All right, Linda, go ahead. Yes. Yes, amen. Yes. Amen, sister. Amen. Amen. Praise. Did Linda do the right thing? Yeah. Steve, stand up, buddy.
I was walking up Stone Mountain, and this guy was coming down, and he grabbed me by my arm. He asked me, "Was I saved?" And I know the Lord. And he was quoting. He asked me, "Did I believe in my heart that I call on the name of the Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved?" And I confessed with my mouth. I said, "Yes, I did that." But I mean, that guy just grabbed me by my arm. That always just sticks with me. That's been probably the early 90s when that happened. You know?
Amen.
And when you talk about Romans 10, that just excites me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Did Steve do the right thing?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He sure did. Praise the Lord. Hold on just a minute, Lindsay. I want the microphone so the folks in nursery can hear you, okay?
When you get baptized and Brother Tom asks you questions, are you a believer? Most of the time you just nod your head, yes, but I want to say it with my words since it's the first step. I am a believer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Amen, Diane. Praise the Lord. Wait just a minute, Diane. Let me get the microphone over there. I know you're already scared to death, okay? Jesus will hold you up, Diane.
I went to the tent meeting, and I had went to one a long time ago when I was around 8. And I enjoyed that then, but I had never... It was a small one. But I went to this one, and... I don't know how to say it. Brother Sexton he opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Amen.
My heart has been telling me all this year that something big was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was, but I felt like when I read the Bible, all the prophecies are coming true. And I want to be ready. Yeah. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be left behind.
Yeah.
I want to be right there.
when He comes. And I'd like my children to be there.
Yes.
And I know they're not saved. Mm. And sometimes they listen to me when I talk to them, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And I've got other friends, they're not saved. Mm. They say, I went to church when I was little, and I got enough of it then. I don't want no more part of it. Mama made me. Mom and Daddy made me. And they don't want no more part of it. Or they say, they just don't have time. And I'd like for you to pray for them too.
I sure will.
And I can't believe I'm doing this. I really can't. But I don't know. When that revival it just done something to me.
Amen.
It really did. It just opened me up and seemed that I need to testify more about what God is doing in my life and around me. And I need to start attending church more, like prayer meetings and things like that. I realize that too.
Appreciate,
so that's all I've got to say. But I would.
Aren't you a shy person?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
I can't believe you're standing up there either. It's like the first time Steve stood up. I couldn't believe that either.
I pray a lot. I don't come to the altar like I should. I pray, but I don't really pray like at the altar like
that's
I should.
That's point number four. I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh. But I do pray, and I my good friend Becky Heiss, she took me to the revival, and I want to thank her for that.
You always gonna get rewarded in heaven, but sometimes you get rewarded on earth. Okay?
If she hadn't kept after me, I probably wouldn't have come.
Huh.
But I'm very glad that I did. I had a wonderful time, and I don't know. I did, it was just a blessing to me.
Yeah.
And you know, like she said, I used to cry a lot when I prayed, but the tears, they had sort of dried up. They wasn't. But after the tent meeting, they started coming back at the tent meeting.
Wayne is up there in heaven right now. He's watching you right now.
I know.
If you can have a heart attack in heaven, I bet he's having one.
Is
that little quiet woman I married?
He probably would. But yes, I sort of had slipped back before then. You know, I mean, I was getting slack in my Bible reading and getting slack in my praying. And I went up, when the revival came, I went up there and asked the Lord to help me to get back to putting earthly things. I'll be honest with you, I watch a lot of TV. But I stay by myself, and sometimes I don't even look at it. I just cut it on, I guess, just, and I go to sleep. But I would wish y'all would pray for me that I would leave less TV and more prayer and more Bible reading.
Some people say they do that for company. That's a bad company. Let's stop and pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for Diane. And Lord, just for the unusual thing your Spirit's done. She stood up in church. Lord, I'm still stunned by it. Lord God, I pray now that you would lay your hand on Diane, that she would become a flaming voice for you. And God, I pray that you'd reach out to her family, shown so much belligerence against her and you, a resistance. And God, I pray that you would take their hearts away from self and let them see what's eternal. Oh, dear God, I ask you, help Diane. You've heard her request to be more faithful in your house, and Lord, to Lord, be more outspoken for you, and to be hot, red hot for you. Lord, please help her. Dear Jesus, I pray. In your name. Ready for point number two? Oh.
One of the nights of the revival, I can't remember which, I guess it was a Thursday night, or it might have been the night before that when it started, Lord was dealing with me, like Miss Linda, about my tears, and it was convicting me when he was preaching about the illustration he gave when he went to Czechoslovakia and he was looking in the windows of that underground church and seeing the lips of the people quiver when they held the Bible. And Thursday night when the Rochesters were singing and when she got up there and sang Amazing Grace, two rows in front of me was Brother Jack Lawson. And I was watching Brother Jack and all of a sudden you could see his lip as she was singing starting to quiver. And you saw him take his glasses off and you could see just tears just streaming down his face. And I said, Lord, why am I not like that? When I hear about God's grace and mercy that He had on me, why don't I cry like that? Why doesn't it affect me like that? And that's what happened in the song this morning. When he was talking about when he sought me as a stranger, the Lord came after me. I just want to confess it. He is my Savior.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother. You'll be on the team, Justin. Amen. Going up, buddy. Amen. Come on.
I know the first 2 weeks of that revival, it was such a all of it was a blessing, but it didn't even seem like 2 weeks. And it's like somebody said, it was hard to get there, but get everybody there. But it was just such a blessing. And then, you know, just to be able to be with the Lord's people and especially stand up there in that choir and see old friends you haven't seen in years, people you go to camp with, people from our church and other pastors. It was just really neat and be able to serve. And then that, I tell you, last Sunday came, the devil came at our family with his nails up, and he came at us hard because I know God is trying to do something here in our community, and God came at our family, and some things happened, and I got really discouraged. But you know, I just remembered that Jesus is living inside me, and he has defeated the devil. He has bruised his head. He's taken the writ of offenses that are against me and nailed him to his cross. And he's greater than the devil. And I got discouraged and I just kept calling on his name. And he came and ministered to me and restored me. And I tell you what, Wednesday night at that tent meeting, I felt as lower than a gnat's knee. But Jesus, God is so merciful. And I had such a bad attitude going into that service. And I want to confess that. And I shouldn't have, but I did. And God is just so good to us and our family. I just want to praise Him and I say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm with Him. And I just ask for His grace and His strength to help me proclaim His name where I work and throughout the world. Because, you know, our country, you see the mess that we're in. I don't know, just my feeling, God is bringing this revival, you know, feeling of revival to all these churches around here and the condition of our nation. I think He's going to bring it together. I think we got to be ready to minister to people. I've been saying that for the past 2 years. I've been telling that. I have a good friend at work. I've been telling that too. And we need to be ready. I just want to be ready to minister and to be a blessing and to be able to lead others to Christ and to show them the way, because I believe it's going to come to that. I believe that the stuff that people have depended on in this nation is going to run out. The material things, whatever that they've been depending on, and the people that don't have Christ, and we're going to need to be ready. So I pray that the Lord will make me ready.
Amen. Yeah. I saw two or three hands over here, I think. Let's see. Cindy, you get those.
Thank you. I was just going to say real quickly that when we talked about the rapture, you know, in essence, And I was thinking about Peter denying Christ as you were talking. I thought, well, you know, everyone knows I've been here. I'm growing moss. I've been here so long. But that doesn't mean that I have arrived or that I'm any, you know, achieved anything that I should. You know, I'm just like so guilty of all the things that have already been mentioned. But I thought about Peter denying, you know, when he said, "You'll deny me," and so I have to stand up. I know everybody knows my testimony so many times, but the thing that I think that impressed me so much was talking about, in essence, about the rapture. And he said Jesus could come tonight when you're walking to your cars. And I've thought about that so much that we need to be prayed up. That I need to be prayed up, packed up, and ready to go, because it, I feel like it's just right here at our door. And everyone knows I have burdens on my heart, just like everybody does. And I just thank God for the privilege of teaching this sixth grade class. They've been such a blessing to me already, and to Becky, I know. And what an honor it is to be still serving the Lord at this age in my life and part of my life, you know, where I am. And I just know that I felt, as I was walking to the car that night, am I clean? Have I confessed? Have I done all the things I should do if he comes tonight? And I wasn't. So I sat in the car while my honey unparked the cars, and just talked to the Lord about it. So thank you for the privilege of confessing my Savior today.
I want to give a special invitation right now. And I think this is very critical. If there's someone here who has never publicly confessed Jesus Christ, and yet in your heart you believe, you say, "Jesus is the Lord, I have accepted Jesus," or "I will right now, I accept Jesus as my Savior," I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never done that before, you say, and understand what I'm saying. If you have never received the Lord Jesus, then you need to, a second before you do this, you need to say, "Lord Jesus, I love you. I accept your forgiveness. I believe in you. You brought me to believe. I'm sick of my old life. I'm sick of it. I want new life in Christ. I want forgiveness." And then, after you've told Him, after you've received Him in your heart, would you stand up and say, "I have believed in Jesus. Jesus is mine." And by the way, the words are not that critical, are they? But you standing up and you confessing Christ with your mouth, confessing Christ publicly. Is there someone here who has either been saved in the past, or you trusted Christ right now, and you'll publicly confess Him right now? Do it. Anybody who's never confessed it? Amen. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, amen. I didn't ignore the rest of you, but Chris. I don't want to kill her with a walk here. God bless you, sir. Amen.
I have not accepted Him.
Chris, do you at this moment publicly confess Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Yeah. You got people waving at you, Chris. Praise the Lord. That's tremendous. Not ashamed, are you, Chris?
No, I'm not.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, come pray with her. Betty, come pray with her, if you will. Geneva, come pray. And whoever else. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. The microphone thing's over, Chris. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Yes. Amen.
If I see somebody else, first time ever to publicly confess Christ, don't want to miss anybody. And let me extend that invitation just a moment. If you swallowed your tongue and you're trying to get it back up, but you want to publicly confess the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I'm not going to coerce anybody, but I am going to tell you one thing. If you don't do this, you are going to have a bad day. If you know, you're going to have a bad day. Because I've talked to too many folks who go out of church and all afternoon they're, what is the matter with me? I know I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, am I? I'm pausing just a moment. This is the Lord's grace. Anybody else? Clara, stand up.
I got saved, or I thought I got saved when I was 6, and I got baptized. But I doubted all my life. And in the second week of the revival on Thursday, I made sure of it. Yeah. And I want to publicly confess that I'm a Christian now.
Oh, bless you. I tell you, you've been listening to me. You stumbled over your words. That's the way I teach my people, is to stumble a little bit. Bless your heart, though, child. God heard that. Amen. One day, Clara, you publicly confessed Him. He's going to confess you, too. Before the angels in heaven, that's my child. That is my child. Yeah. Amen.
Oops. Okay. Be right with you. Yeah.
I got saved. Jesus saved me when I was younger. And I came forward to be baptized when I was younger as well. But it's just been a long time since I've publicly confessed. So I just want to say that Jesus is my Savior. And He saved me by His grace. And I'm very thankful. So I just wanted to make that public.
Amen. 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 Come run this meeting just a minute, if you will, bro. Come run this meeting.
All right. I've confessed Christ before, but, you know, I was just thinking, why not do it again? You know, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. I'm not even worthy to stand up here and say that, especially since this morning we talked about, how do you follow Christ? Do you follow Him, or do you follow Him at a distance like Peter must have before he denied Him before everybody? And I confess that at work, sometimes I fall into the not making fun of Jesus or making, well, directly, but I'll laugh along with the jokes, but I won't stand up. I won't say, well, you need to quit doing that. That offends me, because it doesn't. It doesn't offend me, honestly. And that's a problem. But I do confess Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. And I would covet your prayers and being a man, really. So I'd appreciate it.
The same invitation the pastor gave, if you've never done that and you want to do that now, now is the time to do it. Or if there's someone else who says, the Lord told me I need to say something now, I want to say it along those lines. But Chris.
It's pretty dangerous for me to have this thing. I might hit 80 in the head with it. So, this is October 31st. Be 18 years since God saved me. And I've only professed God when it was convenient for me. And not when it counted on it. And I've been running from revival ever since Brother Billy was here. And I'm tired of running. I want to be a part of it. And the reason I learned about professing God in public is sometime during the tent revival while I was out there in the parking lot, one of my friends I graduated with called me. And it was on a Thursday night, and I answered it, and he said that one of our friends we graduated with was laying in the hospital with cirrhosis of the liver, and they weren't expecting him to live. And he said, "You're the only Christian I know. Can you come up here and see him?" And I didn't go. I don't know if he made it or if he went home, but don't ever pass up that chance, because I may have a friend that didn't make it. It'll be my fault.
Are you saying you're on the revival team now?
I don't know if I've ever confessed the Lord Jesus with my mouth or not, so I'm going to do it now. I'm a believer, and I asked the Lord to come into my life and save me, and He did. And now I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian.
Amen.
I just want to confess, just so the devil will hear me too, that because he is a liar and he wants nothing more than distract us. But I just want to say that I know that the Lord has saved my soul. And I've struggled with assurance of my salvation, and there's nothing more miserable than that. And before me and Mark were married, I had prayed that the Lord would save me to come into my heart. But I had struggled with it even up until after we were married. And it was a long time ago. It was with Tony, David, what was his name? Smallwood. David Smallwood was preaching a revival here, and I just had gotten enough of it. So Mark took me downstairs into one of these little Sunday school rooms, and we just went over the plan of salvation again. And I might have been saved before that, but that's the day that I'm claiming that for sure that I knew that the Lord saved me because I asked Him to, and He said He would. And I want the devil to hear me say that I know that Jesus saved me because He said He would. And I just wanted to publicly say that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Kate, you know, there is a point in which a person is saved, gets born again. But I don't think isolating exactly what point it was is near as important. Who am I trusting right now? Is my faith, am I confessing Christ right now? Where's my faith right now? Blessings on you. He just gave him a black eye. Oh, Mr. You-know-who, you know, he just gave him a black eye. He hated that. Yeah, I loved it. He hated it. Okay. Yeah, Brother James.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that, you know, that I have believed probably 30-something years ago that Christ died for my sins and was resurrected and for me. And I do believe that. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been so for 30-something years. But I want to say something that I didn't do and something that hurts me more than anything. And I begin to realize it more and more. When we out here in the public or just when wherever we might be, I believe that when we walk before these unbelievers a lot of times and the Holy Spirit tells us or lets us know that probably they are not saved, that they need Christ, I believe we need to be a witness to them and to, you know, to let them know that Christ is in us and that we love Him. And we need to speak out for Him. Now that, to me, is what confession a lot is. We need to speak out Him when we come amidst these people that are lost. I want to say, and I know the Holy Spirit last Friday night, there was a boy sat behind me. I knew in my heart, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, just that boy needs to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I said, well, maybe, you know, when the preacher gets up and preaches that he'll go up for salvation. So I said, I just won't say nothing. I mean, I guess the devil just let me not say. I needed to step back behind there. And as he sat there, he listened a while. I'd look at him once in a while, and I knew and I sort of just talked to him. But here's the thing about it. As far as I know, he walked out of that and never come to know Jesus Christ, and I really believe that he was lost. We need to be alert. We need to keep our hearts and minds on the Holy Spirit to know and to witness and to those that we come into. I know it's hard. I know, like you talking about, it's hard to witness to somebody about Christ, but we need to be doing it and let people know that he is in us and that he can be in them. That's how I want to say. So,
when we talk about publicly confessing Christ, and we talk about doing it among his family, his believers, like in church, what that is the initial confession that leads to a lifetime of confession. We confess him before men and women everywhere we go after that. And this is down, I think this is point number 4 also, but we're going to get to that when I get to it. Okay. Yeah. Vanetta, please stand up. By the way, I'm not ignoring people. I just got hands all over the place here. Amen.
I usually don't stand up because I cry all the time. But listening to these other ladies, I realize it's a gift God has given me. And I don't need to be embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed of him, but just of how blubbery I get. But I confess that the Lord is my Savior. I know that without him, I don't even want to imagine where I would be. I just want to thank him publicly for loving me and saving me.
Amen.
Yes.
The devil heard that.
When I was 5, I said a 5-year-old prayer, thinking I was saved. But on the second week as a tent, I wanted to make sure that I was saved. And I went up to the altar, and I'm confessing that God is my Savior.
Amen. How old are you, William? 14 years old. Evan Roberts, when God first began to speak to him and put the burden of revival on his heart, he was 13. 13 years old. So he prepared him from the time he was 13 up somewhere into his 20s. 13. All right, let me tell you what's going to happen even before Teresa speaks. I want her to speak. We're going to, at some point, just dismiss this service because we, I guess we could stay here forever, but to be honest with you, there are always those who are in it. And then there are always some who are not in it. I don't want to force anybody to be in it. It's not my job. So I want to let those go. And maybe I don't want to characterize anybody who would leave as unspiritual or anything like that. They're just not in it. Okay? And so I just want to let everybody go. Some people may have appointments, they may have to go to work, they may have medicines they need to take, and we don't need to be judgmental about that. But I want to let everybody go who's not in. So I'm going to dismiss the service at some point. We're definitely going to come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and I'm going to cast away the other sermon I was going to preach. I'm going to finish this one at some point if I get a chance. But if the Holy Spirit takes over, he's a whole lot better preacher than I will ever be, and we're going to let him do it. And so that'll be just fine. We'll come back tonight at 6. And I want to plead with everybody, be back at 6 o'clock tonight. You don't want to miss it. Pretty neat stuff happening here, right? Okay.
I have mentioned this before, that when I was 15, I went to a revival service with my grandparents. and the pastor that night said that somebody in the church needed to get saved, and he didn't know who, and he extended it. And I did. I sat in the pew that night, and I remember saying, "Lord, it's me. It's me, Lord." And I don't remember what all I said that night, but I do remember asking the Lord, you know, saying it was me. And, you know, you can get hooked up of what you've said or when, and it does come down to accepting Him and having that relationship. And you know, that night I did not go forward, did not know. Like I said, I was just doing business with the Lord. And since then, in another church and in this church, I have publicly said I am a Christian. I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been asking a lot of the women in this church to pray for my brothers. But I just wanted to give a little short testimony, you know, why I am still sitting in a church amazes me. And when God saved me, when He did, amazes me. And I don't want to get over that. During that time, I was in a home. My dad was an alcoholic. It got very rough. I lived in a home where my mom was trying to commit suicide during that time. My parents were brought up in church, but they got out of church. And
it's a lesson there. Did y'all get that?
It's very dangerous. It was very dangerous. My brothers right now are following in my dad's footsteps with alcohol. I've got a brother now who did get saved, but now is doubting God. He can't believe where did God exist? How has He always been? And there was a time that he tried to commit suicide. And I talked to him this week, but he assured me he's not having any suicidal thoughts. And I praise the Lord for that, but he's searching. And I told him, I said, "Randy, it's by faith we believe things. You can't always," he's very intellectual, "it's not always intellectual, you can't always think it out." I had a godly grandfather and a godly grandmother that I lived with. And I never passed their bedroom at night that they were not on their knees praying. And I believe it's because of their prayers is why God reached for me. And during that time, we were not allowed to tell our grandparents what were going on in our home. They did not know. And I'm not saying all this to say, "Oh, Teresa," I'm saying all this to say, I want to give God the glory that I am where I am today. Amen. Because of what He did in my life. When I sat on that pew when I was 15 years old, and I want to publicly admit it. And I am not a good soul witness. I'm not a good one to witness. I try to with my life, but with my mouth, I need to be more of a bolder witness. And I need prayer for that. But I just stand up, I want to thank the Lord again publicly for what He has done for me in my life. It's just undescribable to me. And I feel so blessed.
Let's stop and pray here and see the Lord. Father, Lord, we want to do right by You first of all in Your Spirit, but Lord, by our older folks and those who have appointments. I pray now that You'd help me be wise about this and what I do. Would You keep your head bowed and your eyes closed and just pray for God to have His will right now, for the Spirit. In fact, make sure I'm not guessing about anything. This is Miranda, and she came with Miss Elizabeth. She's just had two deaths in her family. It's been very, very difficult time for her. Miranda, have you today believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? She told me just a moment ago, and I, you know, it's kind of different when you've just lost someone. You folks have done that. And she told me, she said, "I had to have the Lord in my life. You know, no one wants to have to lose two people to come to that conclusion, right? We have to have him in our life. We may not know it quite yet, but we have to have it. Amen? Isn't that right? We have to have him. Okay. I'm going to dismiss the main part of the service here, ask somebody to do it. But I got the impression maybe some of you aren't ready to leave yet. Maybe quite a few of you want to hear what else God's doing. So if you feel like you haven't spoken yet, but you need to, then you hang around just a moment. In fact, move over here to this side, if you will. Rick and Matt, if y'all would greet those that have to leave. And again, understand, if somebody, the Holy Spirit is an individual leader, isn't he? If somebody needs to leave, they just need to leave. I mean, it's okay. And I'm not going to judge you, and I'm calling on those. Nobody judges anybody, all right? That's just the way it needs to be. By the way, I got to tell y'all this. Eddie called me, a week and a half ago, and he said, I've got a friend who is lost, and he's been asking. He said he asked me to get you to come by. He wants to talk to the preacher. And this past Thursday, I think it was, I went by. This man has been a druggie all of his life. But he trusted Christ this past Thursday afternoon. And just tremendous. That happened in his... No, it didn't happen in his house. It happened over at St. Mary's Hospice Care because he's dying with cancer. Do we want to wait until a little time before we die with cancer to realize we need the Lord? We don't, do we? He gasped his way to Christ. That's not the way you want to do it. All right? Well, let's stand with you this morning.